Each said to his neighbor, "If we all do as our brethren have done and refuse to fight with the Gentiles for our lives and our ordinances, they will quickly destroy us from the earth." So they made this decision that day: "Let us fight against every man who comes to attack us on the Sabbath day. Let us not all die as our brethren died in their hiding places." Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 41, The Rise of the Maccabees and the Second Sabbath Battle. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Several years ago, El Al Airlines flight 002 from New York to Tel Aviv departed late, and it was realized mid-flight that it would arrive in Israel on Friday night after the Sabbath had already begun. It was therefore decided that the plane would land first in Athens on Friday afternoon to allow for those who did not travel on Shabbat to disembark. Of course, none of the multitudes of passengers who did get off the plane in Athens had planned for such a Shabbat. Many had checked their Shabbat clothes and were on their way to Israel for important reasons, celebrations, or funerals. One of those passengers, Rabbi Jesse Horn, described the scene, as well as the resolution in the face of unexpected challenges, to mark the sanctity of the Sabbath together. Quote, "Another rabbi in El Al 002 was flying to Israel for his seventh grade student's bar mitzvah. He too was upset about disappointing the family who had paid for his ticket. A nice lady sitting a row behind me was worried about having to leave her mother's casket, as she too was planning on spending Shabbat in Athens. In truth," Rabbi Horn continued, "all 180 of us had no interest in spending Shabbat in Athens. We had 180 other places where we would have rather been. However, on the bus which took us from the airplane to the airport, some people began singing Shabbat songs, providing a much-needed sense of optimism to the experience. We realized we had the opportunity to transform this Shabbat into something special if we chose to." End quote. Indeed, what emerged was not only, I think, a special Shabbat, but one that relates to the first battles of the Maccabean Revolt, and a Shabbat which, therefore, rightly understood, ought to inspire awe today. The terrible decrees wrought upon Judea and Jerusalem by Antiochus IV, following the Jewish Hellenist seizure of the Temple in Jerusalem, is described in the first and second books of Maccabees, texts that are not part of the Jewish biblical canon, but are still a very interesting historical source. We are told, quote, "And the king sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and the towns of Judah. He directed them to follow customs strange to the land, to forbid burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings in the sanctuary, to profane Sabbaths and festivals, to defile the sanctuary and the priests, to build altars and sacred precincts and shrines for idols, to sacrifice swine and other unclean animals, and to leave their sons uncircumcised. They were to make themselves abominable by everything unclean and profane, so that they would forget the law and change all the ordinances." He added, "And whoever does not obey the command of the king shall die." End quote. Thus, what the Seleucid king sought was nothing less than the end of Judaism itself. As many rabbinic commentators have noted, the persecution born here is unlike any other in Jewish history thus far. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians, as well as the hate-filled Haman, sought to assault the Jewish body. But here we find the first assault on the Jewish soul. The revolt against the Seleucids, as well as against their allies, the Jewish Hellenists, was launched by a priestly family that lived not in Jerusalem, but in Modi'in. The members of this family were not known as Maccabees, but Hasmoneans, Chashmonaim, perhaps a family name or a location linked to their familial roots. The patriarch of the family was Matityahu, or Mattathias, and only one of his sons was known as Maccabi, which is perhaps Greek for hammer. 1 Maccabees tells us, "In those days, Mattathias, son of Yochanan, son of Shimon, a priest of the family of Yoariv, moved from Jerusalem and settled in Modi'in. He had 5 sons: Yochanan, surnamed Gadi; Shimon, called Thasi; Judah, called Maccabeus; Eliezer, called Avaran; and Yonatan, called Ephes. He saw the blasphemies being committed in Judah and Jerusalem and said, 'Alas, why was I born to see this, the ruin of my people, the ruin of the holy city, and to live there when it was given over to the enemy, the sanctuary given over to foreigners? Her temple has become like a person without honor. Her glorious vessels have been carried into exile. Her infants have been killed in the streets, her youths by the sword of the foe. What nation has not inherited her palaces and has not seized her spoils? All her adornments has been taken away. No longer free as she has become a slave. And see, our holy place, our beauty, and our glory have been laid waste. The heathens have profaned them. Why should we live any longer? Then Mattathias and his sons tore their clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned greatly. End quote. Note the way, ladies and gentlemen, in which the text tells the tale. The Hasmoneans, who later become called the Maccabees, are known today for living in Modi'in. But here, the text emphasizes that they came from Jerusalem, that they chose to leave Jerusalem, presumably in the face of many of Jerusalem's Jews embracing Hellenism and paganism. The point, in other words, is that these men bore the best of Jerusalem with them, and that the last best hope for the future of Jerusalem resided with them. When Seleucid soldiers arrived in Modi'in and erected an altar for pagan sacrifice, forcing Jews to participate, Mattathiah refused, saying, "Even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to obey his commandments, every one of them abandoning the religion of their ancestors, I and my sons and my brothers will continue to live by the covenant of our ancestors. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's words by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left." Instead of sacrificing, Mattathiah launched a revolt and, we are told, let loose the battle cry that made his family famous. Quote, "Then Mattathias cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, 'Let everyone who is zealous for the law and supports the covenant come out with me.' And he and his sons fled to the hills and left all that they had in the city. Then many who were seeking righteousness and justice went down to the wilderness to dwell there." Thus the rebellion was launched. The Book of Maccabees at this point gives us a very interesting account of the early battles. Recall how Alexander's general, Ptolemy, had conquered Jerusalem by taking advantage of Sabbath observance. A similar story unfolded in the Greek Seleucid assault on Jewish rebels. Maccabees tells us, quote, "And it was reported to the king's officers and to the troops in Jerusalem, the city of David, that men who had rejected the king's command had gone down to the hiding places in the wilderness. Many pursued them and overtook them. They encamped opposite them and prepared for battle against them on the Sabbath day. And they said to them, 'Enough of this. Come out and do what the king commands, and you will live.' But they said, 'We will not come out, nor will we do what the king commands, and so profane the Sabbath day.' So they attacked them on the Sabbath, and they died." Maccabees further tells us, "When Mattathias and his friends learned of it, they mourned for them deeply, and each said to his neighbor, 'If we all do as our brethren have done and refuse to fight with the Gentiles for our lives and our ordinances, they will quickly destroy us from the earth.' So they made this decision that day: 'Let us fight against every man who comes to attack us on the Sabbath day. Let us not all die as our brethren died in their hiding places.'" End quote. Thus did the Hasmoneans, later known as the Maccabees, define themselves by their willingness to fight on Shabbat against their enemies when necessary. This is in accordance with codified Jewish law today, that one is obligated to violate the Sabbath in order to preserve one's life or the life of another, just as most prohibitions in the Torah may be violated in such a situation. It may be that even those who had originally refused to fight on the Sabbath understood this, but had assumed that in a time of religious persecution, a larger message about the sanctity of the Sabbath needed to be made. After all, the Talmud itself asserts that in certain situations where a persecuting government seeks to make an example of Jews by forcing them to violate the Torah, martyrdom may in certain situations be required. Be that as it may, Mattathiah's approach is also that of Jewish law today, which is why even the most religiously observant members of the Israeli Defense Forces serve on the Sabbath when required and do what is essential on that day for the preservation of national security, just as the Hasmoneans, Mattathiah and his sons, fought the Seleucids on the Sabbath when required. The Greek attempt to use the Jewish observance of the Sabbath against the Jews highlights the disdain of Hellenistic culture for the very concept of the Sabbath. As we have previously mentioned, prominent figures in classical Greece mocked Jewish Sabbath observance as a sign of laziness. And knowing this, we can now appreciate the sublime symbolism of the airline of a Jewish state landing in Athens of all cities, and thereby honoring the Sabbath. And by all accounts, the Jews who observed Shabbat in Greece that weekend experienced a sanctity that was profound, elemental, and unifying. As the writer Liel Leibovitz tells us, quote, "The passengers who rushed against the clock in Greece were a wildly diverse bunch. Black hatters and wearers of knitted kippot, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, men and women from all across Israel with nothing much in common save for the tradition that has bound us all for millennia. Welcomed by Rav Mendel and Rebbetzin Nachama Hendel, the local Chabad emissaries, these stranded passengers, according to their own accounts, passed a joyous Shabbat, enjoying each other's company in the spirit of the holy day, despite being separated from their luggage and their loved ones waiting at home." End quote. Another participant, Jonathan Paley, reported that as they were all taken back to the airport after Shabbat, with Hanukkah 2 weeks away, they broke out in a traditional holiday song. Yivanim nikpitzu alai, uminotar kankanim na'asaneis la'shoshanim. The Greeks had gathered to destroy us, and from one final flask, the enduring flame of Judaism was reborn. Thus they sang, knowing that Antiochus was long gone, but Shabbat remains, and Jewish Jerusalem stands strong. Interestingly, the Jewish press reported that despite the Israeli policy since the premiership of Menachem Begin, that all planes do not fly on Shabbat, nevertheless, after many passengers embarked in Athens, the plane continued onward to Israel, quote, due to a medical emergency aboard the aircraft. Israel's chief Sephardi rabbi, in concert with the medical officer and CEO of El Al, decided together to permit the flight to continue on to Tel Aviv instead, despite the probability the plane would arrive after the start of the Holy Sabbath. An ambulance met the aircraft on the tarmac at Ben-Gurion International Airport, end quote. Thus did one El Al flight simultaneously honor the sanctity of the Sabbath, but also the sanctity of human life. The sanctity of human life is founded on the Jewish belief that we are created, all of us, in the image of God. And the sanctity of the Sabbath is founded on the Jewish belief that there is one God who created the universe and endowed it with the potential for sanctity. These two ideas were given by Jerusalem, not Athens, to the world. At the moment that Matityahu launched his revolution, he understood that if Athens would emerge victorious over Jerusalem, civilization would lose the notion of these two sanctities. But as we continue to tell this story, we will see how Seleucid Hellenism will not win, how these sanctities will be saved, and how the sanctity of Jerusalem's temple will be saved as well. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.